Today's Shir's Masech Baba Basra, Dav Zayin. We will begin on Dav Vav Amud Beis. Two lines from the bottom. Hanabe Trey, Dav Adairi. There were two people that lived in the same building. Chad Havadairi Eloi. One of them lived on the upper floor. Chad Havadairi Tatoi. And one lived on the bottom floor. And what happened was, Ispas Tatoi, the apartment on the bottom, started sinking into the ground. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. That's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. The Rambam has a different approach. He says it wasn't that the entire house started sinking into the ground. Rather, it was the roof that on top of the bottom apartment that started to fall. That was starting to fall apart. And what happened was, the person who lived on the bottom apartment said to the person who lived in the upper apartment, Tavanivne, let's go and rebuild this home so that I should have a normal place where I can live. Amale, so the person in the upper apartment said to him, I'm living fine. In other words, my apartment, my situation has not been in any way affected. I'm not looking to do anything. Amalei, but the person who lived downstairs, being in the tough situation that he was in, Amalei, so he said to the person that lived upstairs, Istra v'na evnei, let's demolish it, and I'll pay for the entire cost of rebuilding the home. Amalei, so the person who lived upstairs said, Lesli duchta lemedba, I don't have where to go during the time that you're going to be rebuilding, demolishing and rebuilding the home. Amale, so the bottom apartment owner said to him, Oigala duchta, I'll rent for you a place where you can live. Amale, so he said, Loi tarachna, moving is obviously not easy, and therefore I'm not interested in moving. Says the person, Loi kamasadali, but the person who lived on bottom said, but I don't have where to live. This is not a tenable situation. So the person who lived upstairs told him, Shuva kreisachvo, crawl on your stomach to get into your apartment. Shuva kreisachvok, and crawl on your stomach to get out. You could do it. It's not great, but it's not something that's impossible to do. Amar Rav Chama. So Rav Chama says, as far as the halacha is concerned, Bedina Komakev. The person who's living on top has a right to say what he's saying, and he can't force the person on bottom to rebuild the house. However, points out the Ritva that this is only in a situation where there is no sakana here. There is no clear and dangerous sakana. But if there's a situation of sakana by remaining upstairs, then by keeping this house the way it is, then the halacha would be he can't force him to rebuild the house. Says the Gemara, v'hanimili, how far does this halacha go? Says the Gemara, the lemata kishurei, that the beams of upstairs, the floor of upstairs has not gone down that low, has not sunk that low, that it's Lamata Miasara, that's within 10 tefachim of the ground. Aval, Matak Shur Lamata Miasara, if we come to a situation that the beams are so low that there isn't even a height of 10 tefachim anymore in the downstairs apartment, Matse Amale, so now the person who lives on the downstairs apartment could say to the person who lives upstairs, when now you're entering into my airspace, and since now you're entering into my airspace, that you don't have a right to go. You don't have rights on rebuilding the house and coming into my airspace, and since you don't have right to be that low, now the house has to rebuild. Now the question, of course, is who is going to have to rebuild the house at this point. Now we're saying that he has a right to say that the house should be rebuilt. because you, the person upstairs, are entering into my airspace. The question is, who will have to now rebuild the house? So the opinion of the Ramban and the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yonah is that they're both going to have to rebuild the house, because each one is really rebuilding his own apartment. And as the Chazon Ish goes on to say, they both have to demolish the home. The person upstairs has to demolish the home because he's encroaching the area that belongs to the person on the bottom. The person on the bottom has to rebuild the home because he's already in a place that he can't live. So that's why that they both have to rebuild the home. However, there are Rishonim that say is that the upper apartment has to be, the person who lives upstairs has to rebuild the home. And the reason they say it's the person who's upstairs who has to rebuild the home, because at this point, this is the way Chazon Ish explains, at this point, he's already in a situation of being a mazik. When you encroach my property, you're being mazik me. And in fact, I saw that Rishonim discussed, that is really the basis of the Machlokes Rishonim. Is the person upstairs considered a mazik? And if he's considered a mazik, then it's his obligation to rebuild. Or is he are they considered partners? And if they consider partners, they both have to participate in the rebuilding of the home. Says the Gemara, Vahani Mili, but says the Gemara, this entire discussion that we've been having in our shir is only in a situation for Le'osna Gabe Adodi, that the two partners, the two people who live here upstairs and downstairs, never made an agreement between themselves. Ava Isnu Gabe Adodi, had they made the agreement with each other, then of course that if it becomes impossible for me to live in my apartment, then you're going to have to help rebuilding it. Then of course, Sasra Bada, they have to demolish the home and they have to keep it. So the Ramban explains, what is the Gemara here coming to tell us? That if they made an agreement, they have to keep the agreement? Is that what we need the Gemara to teach us? So the Ramban explains what the Gemara here is coming to teach us is not the point that they, of course, have to keep the agreement. The Gemara is only coming to discuss what we just learned at Kama. At what point does the agreement that they have to rebuild kick in? And that's what the Gemara's question is. Ki asni gabi hadodi. Since, as the Rabbeinu Yoina explains, and the Rashba says this as well, they made an agreement that something should happen, they're going to have to rebuild. But the agreement wasn't clear enough. At what point would they have to rebuild? So now there's a dispute. At what point do they have to rebuild? At Kama, Amar Rabbanan Kamei, the Rabbah Mishmei, the Mazutra, Berei, the Rav Nachman, Dom Mishmei, the Rav Nachman, Ki Oysu Shishaninu. It's like we're going to learn later in Amasech, on that Tzadik Ches on the base, where somebody agreed to build somebody's home, to build a home for someone else, but it wasn't clear how tall must the building be. That the halach is ruma, the height of the home, kashir achatzi or kavachatzi rachbay. It could be half of the length and half of the width. In other words, if you have a home that has the length of 20 amos and the width of 10 amos, then you have to, so that's a total of 30. You're going to have to build a home that's 15 amos tall. And that's considered the normal dimensions of the height of a home. And where we learned that from in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to see, is learned from the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon that was 40 amos long, 20 amos wide, which is a total of 60, and the height was 30. So we see we have this ratio. So when this was said to Rabbah, that this is supposed to be the dimension of a home, Lava Minalachu, he said to them, haven't I told you? Don't say in the name of Rav Nachman things that don't make sense. Because Hochi Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman did not say that that is a firm dimension that must be followed. The way you have to build is Kedidari Inchi, the way people normally live. Says the Gemara, the Kama, So now that we said that's what's considered normal, how people live, how much is that? The Kama says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, Keicha the Eili, as long as the person can enter the home when he's carrying Isuraisa the Mechuzah, he's carrying the type of a bundle of wood that's normally carried on one's head in Mechuzah, the Hadar, and he can turn around. That is considered the normal height of a home. And I saw the Ritva says, but the Gemara doesn't mean specifically this shear. What the Gemara means to say is, as long as it's the way people normally live. Says the Gemara, Hu gavro, davabana ashisa churi kavri dechavri. There was this individual that was building a wall behind the windows of somebody else's home, and there weren't four amos distant that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Mishnah Daf Chabeis, that that's how much you're supposed to back off from somebody else's windows. He didn't back off those four amos. Amalei. So the person who owned the home said to him, "Come up, Salai, you're making my apartment dark, my home dark." Amalach, Sechana l'chachacha. She said, "I'll close up the windows you have. V'vidna l'chachavil el mashasi, and I'll make windows, new windows for you, above my wall, so my wall will not be any more blocking your windows." So says the Gemara, Amalei kamas l'shisoi. When you'll do that, you'll ruin my wall. So of course, the question that I saw Rabbeinu Yoina ask is, why did he say that the issue is you're ruining my wall? I don't want to have the window that high up. So Rabbeinu Yoina says, we're going to learn in the Gemara that at the end of this piece of Gemara, that this house was really used as a warehouse. So yes, in a normal home, you don't want to have your windows too high up. But here, it's not your normal home. It was a warehouse. And that's why that wouldn't have been a fair claim. But he did say, putting up the window, making the wall higher and putting windows there will ruin the wall. Amalei, kamash l'shasoi. You're going to ruin my wall. Amalei. So the owner of the wall, this new wall, said to him, I understand. Sasanachla shisach, I'll demolish your wall. The adductor the kavi beninalach, and then I'll build for you. Vavinli, bekave bebinyan alamashasai. I'll put up an entirely new wall, and I'll make the windows in that new wall above my wall. Amalei, says the Gemara, ashisai. You can't have such a situation. I'll completely demolish the wall. I'll make a new wall. To replace one wall, and the other walls are still from the old home, that house won't stand. I'll demolish the entire old home. I'll build a new home with the windows in the right place. Amalei, so the person said, but I won't have Leslie Ducht Lamedibai. I won't have a place to live in the interim. Amalei, so he said to him, Agana Lacha Duchta, I'll rent for you another place where you can live in the meantime. Amalei Le Tarachna, it's a bother. Amrav Chama said, the Din of Kamakiv, this person has a correct claim. Says the Gemara, Hanuhach, isn't this the identical halacha that we began our shir? So ask the Gemara, Vasulamali, why was it necessary for this whole piece of Gemara to be repeated? Answers the Gemara, Hakamashmalon, the Afagavala Mishtamish Elativna Vitsiva Balma, as we said before, that if he wasn't living there, it was only used for a warehouse, still the claim that he doesn't want to have to move in and out is a good enough claim. So Rashi learns he wasn't living there at all. That's the way Rashi lives. He learns he was just used as a warehouse. The Meiri says that it has to be that he's somewhat living there. It's not his main place of residence. But if it weren't his place of residence at all, it's not clear to the Meiri that the other person can't demand that he move out and let him rebuild. But one thing seems to be clear. Let's say he's not living there. nor is he using it as a warehouse. Under those circumstances, it seems that the opinion of the Rishonim is that he would be able to demand, let me rebuild a home, and let me demolish and rebuild your home. And the reason is a concept that we discussed in Masechet Bava Metzia called Kaifin al Midas Adoyim. We could force a person to be what I would call be a mensch. You have nothing to lose. You're not living here. You have nothing here. And let me make it comfortable for myself. There were two brothers, the Plalgi Bahadi Adodi. They divided amongst themselves the property that the father had left. Chad Matya split up, and one got a mansion that the father had left. The Chad Matya Tabitza, and the other one got the garden that was near the mansion that the father left. Ozlah Hu the Matya Tabitza, the one who received the garden as his shear, Kabone Ashisa Pumidas Blida, built a wall next to the mansion. Amalei, so the brother who was the owner of the mansion says, Kamaplus Alai, by having put up this wall, you're making my home dark. Amalei, so the person who owns the garden says, but the deed could be in it. I'm building it in my home, in my garden, in my property, and I should have every right to do so. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Chama, so Rav Chama comments, but didn't come late. What he's saying is legitimate. So Rashi explains, going back to what we discussed in our previous year, if he only built the wall after 3 years that they were living this way, going back to what we discussed in our previous year, then he would not be allowed to build the wall. Because at that point, the owner of the mansion had a chazakah that there won't be any walls blocking his home. And therefore, it's only within the first 3 years. The Yad Rama disagrees. He says, when we spoke extensively in our previous shiur about a chazakah, he says, the way a chazakah is established is when I do something, and if I'm living in your home where I did something, and you didn't say anything. That's the way a chazakah is established. But he says, in a situation where I didn't do anything, I didn't put up the wall, that's not the way, he says, a chazakah is established. And since he says that's not the way the chazakah is established, says the Yad Rama, this is not the situation of a chazakah. The Shas HaTshuvos Tzemach Tzedek in Simen Chavov discusses a situation where many shuls, the minig used to be that when you had yahrzeit and you said Kaddish, so there was only one Kaddish recited. So there were two people that had Kaddish on the same day on Shabbos, and therefore the question was, who should say the Kaddish? So they made a Goyro, and one would say the Kaddish Friday night davening, and one said the Kaddish Shabbos by day, in the morning, Shacharis, Musaf. Now the question was, there was a Kaddish by Mincha. So there was a dispute. The first person said, I said the first Kaddish. I said the first set of Kaddishim. You said the second set of Kaddishim. And now I get the next set. Said, because the second person said, you want for the night, and I want for the day, and there was no girl for Mincha, and we start all over again. So the Tzemach Tzedek says that the girl is only for what the girl was made. And he uses Al Gemara as a raya. He says, the girl in Al Gemara said that I got the garden, and the garden's mine. And you got the house, and the house is yours. That's the way it was divided. And what wasn't included, wasn't included. The Shulchan Aruch Erechayim, Simen Kuf Nun Sif Dalet, teaches us that from the windows of a Beis HaKnesses, we have to make a distance of Dalet Amos. And the reason is that we need to have a lot of light be able to enter into the shul. And as the Prima Gadim says, that it's conducive to being able to daven when there's light in the room. And the Prima Gaudim explains, therefore, that this halacha that we have to distance is not only from the windows of the shul where the men are davening, but even if there's a gallery where Ezra's Noshim is, the women also have to see when they daven, and we have to make that. The Levush seems to disagree. The Levush says it's for the cover of the Beis HaKnesses to allow light to enter. And since the purpose of this is to have cover the Beis HaKnesses for the light to enter, it's only for the Beis HaKnesses, not for the upstairs. And says the Shalos Tshuvos Michas Yitzchok, Chelek Vav Simen Kuf Ayin, that even if it's the shul, it's not somebody else who's coming to put up a wall. It's the people of the shul who are putting up the wall. The halacha is that they may not put up the wall, because this is the way a Beis HaKnesses, he calls the Shalos Tshuvos Tshur Shai. This is the way a Beis HaKnesses is supposed to look, with abundance of light, and therefore no one can make that type of, nobody could block that light. I saw that there was a following in Torah. There was a building that got permission from the local municipality to add porches and extend apartments. And what happened now was that the rule is that they have to get permission from all of the people who live in the home to be able to make these extensions, these legal extensions. And many of the people who live in the home were very satisfied to give this permission, because they got the opportunity to extend and enlarge their apartments. But in this home, there was an apartment where there lived an elderly couple, and they didn't want to extend their apartment. They had no need to extend their apartment. And they said that if there will be, that the other apartments, the people who live in the other apartments will extend their apartments or make porches. So even if it won't block any of their light, etc., it won't encroach on their living, but there's obviously a lot of noise and a lot of wear and tear as this is all done, and therefore they're not agreeable to sign. And the other people felt that they were acting inappropriately. We have the opportunity to extend our apartments, and we need more room in our homes, and you're blocking us. What is the halacha? So the Paiskim say that based on what we just learned in our Gemara, saying that something is a tircha, saying something is bothersome for me, is considered a valid claim. And even though these people all have all the permission and everybody's agreeable other than the people in this apartment, that will be the halacha that they could stop them. So ask the Gemara, Amar of Chama, but then Kamalei, back to our Gemara, where one brother could put up this wall even though it affects the light in the apartment of the other brother. Amalei Ravina Leravashi. So Ravina asked Rashi, Mashna Bahadatanya, why is this any different from what we learned in the Braisa? Shnei Achim Shecholku, if two brothers divided the estate of their father, Echem Mehem Notel Stei Kerem, one took a vineyard, Echem Mehem Notel Stei Lovin, and one took a field where grain grows. Yesh Lo Lebal Kerem, and the two fields are right next to each other. So the Braisa teaches us that the halach is Yesh Lo Lebal Kerem Arba Amos B'Stei Lovin, that he gets a right to go 4 amos into the other field, because that's how much he needs that area to work on the grapevines. Shemnas Kain Chilku, that is understood, was implied and understood in when they divided the property. Here too, shouldn't it be understood that if I got the mansion, I got it, that it shouldn't be blocked with your wall? Amalei, so Ravashi responded, we didn't, there it was, Hasan da Olala Dodi. They made a deal, and that was part of the agreement. If it was part of the agreement, obviously he's allowed to do it. Aval Hocha. So now we're saying, What is the case that we're speaking about here? The loy olol hadadi, that they had not made such an agreement. Says the Gemara. So let's understand the whole situation. The chibush of Tani Eskinim. What kind of agreement is this? The high shokel splida, that one brother will get this beautiful mansion, the high shokel tabitza, and the other one is only going to get a garden. The loy olol hadadi. Did they never make an agreement? Of course, the brother who got the mansion obviously had to pay to the brother who got the garden to make it equal. Says the Gemara, Amale, of course, they had to have had made some sort of a financial arrangement. Ne da olol hadadi, even though they certainly made some sort of a financial arrangement, the may livnik shuri v'adadi. What they made was to compensate that I'm getting this mansion that's made out of all this material, etc., and you're only getting a garden. The may avira olol hadadi, but they didn't make any agreement regarding airspace. What can I do in my garden? Ask the Gemara, v'lemale, why can't the owner of the mansion say to the owner of the garden, mekaris b'lidapakali, when I paid you to the difference, I paid you so that I should be able to get a mansion. But now by you building this wall, hashta mashvilei adrina, it's not a mansion anymore if there's a wall blocking it. Says the Gemara, that's not a valid claim. Omer of Simi bar Ashi, Shma ba'alma palgalei. A mansion is a mansion even if it's blocked. And you bought a mansion. And we have a precedent for this. Miloi Tanya, ha'ime beis kor ofer ani meichalach. We learned in Masechta Baba Metzia, where somebody says, I'm selling you a beis kor ofer, and afapi, when they measure it, it turns out that ein ela lesach, it's only half a kor higiyoi. The sale is still considered a valid sale. Shloi machala ela shma. He didn't sell it to him. He sold him. This is called the beis kor. And said the Gemara, for who miskri beis kor? It's only considered valid if that's indeed what it's called. So this is called a mansion, and it's still a mansion, even if it's blocked. Says the Braisa. Another example, where somebody says, Pardes Adi Meichelach, I'm selling you a pomegranate field. Abish Enam, and then it turns out that there are no pomegranates there. Higiyai, this deal is still a valid deal. Shloi Mochel Alashma, I sold you a property that's called this way. For who? The Miskri Pardes. And this property is called a Pardes. Or, somebody says, Kermani Meichelach, I'm selling you a vineyard. Abish Enam Gefanim, even though it turns out that there are no grapevines there, Higiyai, Shloi Mochel Alashma, what I meant to sell you was the name of a piece of property, Vu the Miskri Karma. And if this place is called Karma, then it's a good sale. So there's a fundamental question which really applies to many of these types of situations. Why don't we say Domim Medimim? Why don't we say that the amount that was paid should be an indication of what I really bought? Because there's prices to everything. So shouldn't be the price be an indicator of what I really bought? Tosfos, the very mask of who asked this question. And Tosfos answers that we're referring to a situation where the person who sold it, bought it, the two people in the deal, recognize and admit that it wasn't sold at full value. It was sold at a discount. So now that they're both agreeing that there was a discount involved, that's why Damim Medim is not going to be an indicator of what was included. Another way that I saw that the Tosfos Yeshanim answers this question is that the price that's paid, going back to the original case, was more than a half a kor cost and less than more than a half a kor cost and less than a whole kor cost. And because it was somewhere in between, it's impossible to use that as a barometer of what really was sold and bought. It says, ask the Gemara, so me, Dami, how can we compare this? Hasam matza amalei, meyakech lekayich, the seller could say to the buyer, Shema zvinaloch, as we've been learning, I sold you this property, and this is the way this property is called. Hacha matza amalei, but an al Gemari could say, adat dahacha pligi, the person who got the mansion could say, I took the mansion to live in it. The Da'irna Beke Hecha the Dar Avasan. I want to be able to continue living here the way our father lived here. Our father lived in the mansion with nothing blocking him. So too should it be my right to live this way. Amalei, my Yenuka Makshish Bereder of Chizda. And we have throughout Shas, the Rav Chizda had two sons, and they're called Mar Yenuka and Mar Kshisha. The question is, who was the older one? Kshisha means older, and Yenuka means younger. And there's a machlokes how to understand which one was the older and which one was the younger. One says, the Pashup Shat, Mar Kshisha. Kshisha means older, so the older one was called Kashisha, and the younger one was called Yenuka. That's one pshat in the Rishonim. The other pshat in the Rishonim is just the opposite, that the older one was called Mar Yenuka, and the reason he was given the name Mar Yenuka was because he was born to Rav Chisda when Rav Chisda was Yenuka. He was born to Rav Chisda when Rav Chisda was younger, and the younger brother was called Mar Kashisha because he was born to Rav Chisda when Rav Chisda was older. But says the Gemara, we have these two sons of Rav Chisda, Mar Kshisha and Mar Yenuka. They said, Travashi, Nadola Tamayu. Rav Chama, who is the one that's been saying the Aloch in our Shir, he was from the Hadar, and he's following his opinion, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Shmuel. Hachin Shecholku, if you have brothers that divided their father's estate, Elohim, and now the two estates are right next to each other. The halacha is Elam Derech Selzeh. The one has the inner field did not automatically get a path in the outer field. V'loy Chaloynus Selzeh. The one, they have no claim that there was a window here. V'loy Suma Selzeh. If one got the upper home and one got the bottom home, he can't put a ladder next in the bottom home to be able to reach upstairs. They can't build a water canal. And he says, V'hizru behen, and be careful what I just said. Shalochas kavusay. This is the halacha. So here too, even though they made a deal, the deal did not include in any way this type of right. Rabbi Amir Yeshlam, of course, it's understood that all of this is included. Says the Gemara, Hushtar the Yasmi. The Gemara brings us another halacha from Rav Chama. Hushtar the Yasmi, there was a situation that the father borrowed money, and they had to pay the money that the father owed, the Nafala Tavra. And now the loiva produces, the father was owed money, and now the loiva produces a receipt that he paid up the loan. Amar Rav Chama, Agbuyla Mgbinalei, they can't collect the money. However, normally when we have a document that says you owe me money, so if it's paid up, we rip it up. Here we won't rip it up. And he explained, we don't collect with it because the Nafik Tavralei, there's a receipt that indicates it was paid up. However, we don't rip up the shtar because Gigadli Yasmi, when the Yisraimim become adults, Dilma Mais Raya, maybe they'll be able to bring a raya or marilei to discredit this receipt. Amalei Ravach Berei the Rav LaRavina Hilchos Amai. What is the halacha in this case? Do we follow the opinion of Chama? Amalei. So he said, Bekula. In all the halachas that we've been discussing in our shir today, the halacha is like Hilchos Rav Chama. The halacha actually is like Rav Chama. Chot Lebar Mitavra. Except this case. The fact that there's a receipt, and the fact that the receipt is signed, the halacha is that we completely rely on that receipt, and we rip up the shtar. And the reason we rip up the shtar is goes back to Gemara that we learned in Masechet Ksubos Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. Asur Adam Sheyesh Shtar Peru B'Toch Beisoi. A person's not allowed to keep a paid-up document in his home. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Iyov, Ateshkoin ba'alach avla, keeping such a document in your home could cause something terrible to happen. You'll collect money that you're not supposed to collect, and therefore here, this is a non-collectible shtar, and just rip it up.
Mazut b'reid Rav Mari Amar b'hod nami hilchus k'Rav Chama. In this case, the halacha is also like Rav Chama, and we have to be concerned that maybe the shiver is not really legitimate. The m'isa, the tavermalia, because there's a big question to answer here. If this receipt was a legitimate receipt, ibay le'lfuki b'chayavon, so then why was it never produced while the father was alive? Midalai afki, the fact that it was never produced as long as the father was alive, shmamina, that leads us to suspicion that ziyuf ezayfa, that this is a forged document, and therefore we're not so quick to rip up the shtar. And therefore, says the Ramban, that if on the shayver, not only are there Adam signed, but they, as we learned in Masechta Ksubis as well, they did kiyam, they certified the shayver, they were mekayim the Adam. So then the halacha is that maybe under those circumstances, we would rip up the shtar. The Rashba clearly indicates that no, if the Gemara is saying, as the Gemara did just say, that there's a reason to be suspicious, the fact that the shayver was mekuyim, the fact that the shayver was certified, doesn't remove that suspicion, and the halacha of Rav Chama remains. Our Mishnah discusses now, when you have people in a chotzer, people in a city, what are the obligations that they have to do? Says the Gemara, Kaifen Isai, the people that all live in the same chotzer, could force that they should build a beis shar. A beis shar is a gatehouse to avoid people to come in, and that would be a way to prevent hezek. That's in a way, as we've been learning in our Masechta, is to prevent hezek riyah. The delos lechotzer, and also to build a door to keep people out, to keep ganovim out from entering. Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo kol chatzur ruus lebeis shar. Not every chatzur requires a beis shar. Kaifen Isai, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah further, when we're here, when we're speaking about a city, Kaifen Isai livnos le'erchaim edul sayim v'riach, we could force all the inhabitants of the city to build a wall and locks around the city. Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo kol hayaris ruus lechaim. Not every city needs a wall. Now the question is, at what point are you considered a citizen of the city that you must participate? Kama yir be'ir, yir ken she'ir. How long are you going to be in the city to be considered that you have to participate? So says the Mishnah, Shnei Masa Chodesh. You have to be there for 12 months. But Rebbeinu Baruch teaches us that if it's obvious that you're going to be that you want to be in the city and live there, says the Gemara, says Rabbeinu Baruch, owning an apartment or home is not necessary. But the Rivas says, and Mukiyosa says it as well, that if you move into a city and it's your intention to be there long term, you don't have to actually be there for 12 months to be considered part of the city. That intention is adequate. But if you didn't buy a house, you're going to have to be, only when you're there 12 months are you going to be considered a member of the city. Then you're considered immediately the member of the city. So it seems that there are three categories. The two ways of learning this. If you didn't buy an apartment, you have to be there for 12 months. If you did buy, so some learn that when you did buy, the fact that you bought and your intention to be there for 12 months, even though you haven't been there yet for 12 months, you're chayif. There's a Chushuk Lichembe discusses a situation where there's a home that, there's a house that has two elevators. And the two elevators are old-fashioned elevators. And they don't really speak to each other. And when you press the button, both start coming and start going. And it causes two things. First of all, it causes a delay, because the elevator is starting to come up and down when the other elevator is coming up and down is really unnecessary. So it causes delays and it causes more expense.
because the elevators that are going up and down are using electricity that are not necessary. So there are people in the home that want to upgrade and automate the elevators. And they claim, and there are people, but this is an expense. And the other blamers say, we can't afford, we don't want to participate in upgrading the elevators. What is the halacha? So the first thing to look at, and the claim of the people who want to upgrade, is saying at the end it will pay off, by not just because it will avoid the time that people have to wait to get the elevator, it will also help that we'll have lower cost on the elevator. Maybe the elevator will be more efficient and less electricity and less breakage. So what is the halacha? Says the Chazon Ish. If there's a minhag hamakom, which we keep on discussing in our shiurim, that we always follow the minhag hamakom. So he says, if there's a minhag hamakom, we always follow the minhag hamakom. If the minhag hamakom is that everybody is upgrading the elevator, you're going to also have to participate in upgrading the elevator. But if there elevators, if there is no minhag hamakom to upgrade the elevator, then you cannot force somebody to upgrade. You cannot force somebody to upgrade and say, well, it's going to be to your benefit. A benefit has to be a benefit that you could recognize immediately. And if you can't recognize the benefit, it's not considered a benefit. Says the Gemara, a financial benefit. Ask the Gemara, remember the Beishamal Yusuhu, ask the Gemara, we're saying that building a gatehouse is something that's positive. The question is it required? Ask the Gemara, who chassida, there was this chassid, Tavrogel Eliyahu HaMishtar Ba'adei. Eliyahu would visit him on a regular basis, of a Beishar, and now he made a Beishar, LeMishtar Ba'adei. He didn't come to him anymore. And the reason is because now by making this, even though this chassid was such a great person, that Eliyahu visited him, but having this Beishar will prevent poor people from visiting him, so that's why he stopped coming. A home which prevents poor people from visiting him doesn't deserve that Eliyahu should visit there. And I saw the reason is because Eliyahu, we know, is the one that's going to tell us about the arrival of Mashiach, Tzidkenu, B'mher B'yameinu. And the schus, in what schus will we merit Mashiach? We're going to merit Mashiach b'schus tztaka. So Eliyahu Navi says, I'm coming to in order that there should be my whole purpose is that to let the world know Mashiach is here. But in a home where tztaka is not given, it's asked the opposite, that Mashiach is not going to come. It's not going to come. So that's not where I'm going to show up. So I saw that the Chazon Ish was asked that why do we have to have the story? Without the story, it's obvious that this should be the halacha that preventing somebody from giving tzedakah. So the Chazon Ish said that this is what the Gemara wants to teach us, that tzedakah, giving tzedakah, is not just giving tzedakah. Included in giving tzedakah is making it easy for aniyim to give tzedakah, to get tzedakah. And anything that makes it difficult for aniyim to get tzedakah should not be done. Says the Gemara Lekasha. It makes a difference where you make the Beishar. If you make it begavoy inside the chatzar, so that prevents the aniyim from coming in, should not be made. Hamavroy, if there's no door and the aniyim can come right through the Beishar, then there's no problem with it. If there's a door which prevents the ani from coming in, then you shouldn't make a beishar. If it doesn't have a door blocking them, it's not a problem. There is a door. If there's a lock and the aniyim can't open the lock, don't make such a beishar. Where it doesn't have a lock. If the lock is from the inside, so the people standing outside trying to enter from outside cannot enter, don't make such a beishar. If the lock is from the outside, that it could easily be opened by anybody, that's no problem. Tanya, Rishim Gamaliel Omer, we learned in the Mishnah, Loi kol chatzeres ruis l'beis shar. Not every chatzer has a beis shar. Chatzer smucha rishus rabim. If it's a chatzer that's near the rishus rabim, ruil l'beis shar should have a beis shar. However, she'ena smucha rishus rabim. If it's not near the rishus rabim, ain't a ruil l'beis shar. Rabbanan that same to say that you should always have a beis shar, suggest zimn in the docket by rishus rabim. You may have a situation where the people in the rishus rabim try to get in, even though it's not right next to it, Vailav Asu, and that's why you should make a Beis Shar. Kaif and I say, Livnas Leah, we learned that what do the people in the city have to participate in building for the city? Says the Gemara, Rashim Gamaliel Aymer, like Kal Yaris Ruiz Lachaymer, Eliir Ha Smuch L'Sfar, a city which is near the border, so it's in exposed, Ruiz Lachaymer, should have a wall. But if it's not near the border, any rule of chayma doesn't have to have a wall. Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon would say that all cities should have a wall. Say, because Zimna the Mikra V'Oisla Geisa, there may be a situation that even though it's not a city on the border, our enemy may penetrate. So now the question is, when we're collecting for the city, when we're collecting for these things, how do we make the determination how to collect? Do we collect lefi nefashis goyvim, that according to the amount of people that are there, every person has to participate in the wall? Adum lefi shvach mamon goyvim. And the way I saw that the Rishonim and Achronim explained the Gemara, the question is, what do we assume the person, the people who are chas v'shalom trying to enter the city are coming for? If they're coming to murder, so then every person in the city should be taken into consideration. But if we're assuming they're coming to take money, that's what they're looking for. So we should look at the people who have more money should have to participate. Amalei, so responded lefi mamon goyvim. We assume that they're not coming to kill. They're coming primarily for money, and therefore that's what we should consider. Says the Gemara, Ve'elozer b'ni kavah b'mesmaris. He said, this is the way Elozer b'ni paskin the halacha, and don't move away from it. So the way that some sofer says that what happened, he explains the Gemara, is that Rabbi Yochanan paskin this way. But Rabbi Yochanan paskin this way, but as we see, he doesn't have a pasuk or a brisa supporting his psak. So when you're paskining based on a psak, based on svara, so there you want to have people to back up your position. And that's why he said, you paskin, that once my son paskin this way, it's right. There's an interesting question. What's the halacha we just spoke about, elevators in a home? So when we're collecting for an elevator, for the upkeep or whatever, do we collect according to the amount of apartments, or do we collect according to the amount of people? If you have more people in your home, they're using the elevator more. So what is the halacha? How do you make this determination? So he says that the halacha indeed is that we look at the amount of people you have, the amount of people you have in the home. The same type of shilas come up, all different types of situation. When you're hiring a chazan for a shul, does everybody pay equally? Or do you look at the people who have, Baruch Hashem, more income, have more money, should pay more? And I saw that the Paiskim suggest, the Magen Avraham says, it's divided actually 50-50. Half of it is calculated by the amount of people, and half is calculated by their income. Ikadam b'am ne'er b'lozim Rabbi Yochanan, shen goyvim, a different consideration. Lefi garv batim hen goyvim, do you look at which city is closer to the border, to the wall? They are more vulnerable. Adam lefi mamon goyvim, or again, do we look at the people with more money? Amalei lefi garv batim hen goyvim, the people who live closer to the wall
need more protection, and therefore that is something that has to be taken into consideration. I also saw that there are other things that take into consideration. Is it a time of peace? Is it a time of war? And the halacha is that we take everything in consideration and come up with a formula. The laws of Anik cover by Mesmeris. Rav Yehuda Nesoi Ramashur, the Shurad Rabbanon, he said that the Rabbanon have to participate in the building of the wall. Amar Rishlokesh, Rabbanon lo tzrich neturasa. The Rabbanon, as we're going to learn, don't need that type of shmira. The ksiv, asapri mechol yirbun. They don't need that type of protection.